All right, turn, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter number 40, and we want to look at verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40,
and verse 28, which is the verse that Brother Jesse began with when he began reading the scripture reading. All right, Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 28. And of course, in Isaiah, we have a book where God is prophesying through his prophet to his people. He's declaring his words to his people. And he's giving in Isaiah really a lot of judgment that is going to come. But beyond that, he also spends time encouraging those who really and truly love him. And I love that about the book of Isaiah. It's not just a book where God, you know, spends time rebuking those who are wrong, but he encourages those who love him. And that ought to, you know, minister to us here tonight. But in this, he talks about days where even people who you would think would be able to endure the hard times, where even they are going to struggle. And then he gives the secret, if you can call it that. I don't really like that word, but at the same time, the ability that people will be able to have strength when it isn't normal for them to have strength. And that secret, that key, is to wait on the Lord. Let's read these verses again. Verse 28, it says, "There hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The word faint means basically to get so tired that you quit. If you can think of a time in your life where maybe your blood sugar was very, very low, I can remember, I've told you stories before of being a young man and playing at my friend's house and, you know, early in the morning and on a Saturday when I had spent the night at their house and early in the morning the parents were still sleeping and we were all playing and I can remember just feeling sick to my stomach and feeling extremely weak and not knowing why. And the only thing I could do was lay down on the couch. And then, of course, after just a little bit, my friend's mom got up and made pancakes. Nothing better for blood sugar than pancakes. But I know now what that was. My blood sugar got real low, and I don't know why that was. I've never been diabetic and all that kind of stuff. But for whatever reason, just that day, it was very, very low. That's the idea of faint. It's not just being tired, it's being so tired and so low on energy that you just can't go any further. And you know, God speaks about a time when even the youths shall faint. Now, why is it important that the youths would faint during this time? Or what does he mean by that? Well, the youths are people who you would think have energy to spare. You know how it is, you who have young children, or maybe you can think back to when you did have young children, you remember what that's like. You watch them and you go, how in the world do you have that energy? And I know for my kids, when we take a vacation, we go hiking. Your kids, I'm assuming, are probably the same way. We'll be hiking, you know, on one of these state parks or something, and you get to a hill. And the youngest one usually says, "Dad, I'm tired. And can you carry me?" And so you take the young one up in your arms and you carry him or her up the hill. And halfway up the hill, you say, "You know what? I'm just too tired. I got to put you down." And they say, "Okay, thanks, Dad." And then they run the rest of the way up the hill. The youths have energy, but even the youths will faint at times. The young men, those who, again, are in the prime of their life, would utterly fall. And friends, the reason I bring up this passage of Scripture to you is I want to share with you some thoughts this evening, a very, very simple message. It's not going to have any defined points necessarily or anything like that, but I want to share with you some verses that have been an encouragement to me in these times. Because I cannot speak for you, but I can speak for me and tell you, this is one of those times ever since we started this whole pandemic journey. There's that magic word, a journey. Ever since we started this whole pandemic journey, it has been exhausting for me. And I would love to paint rosy pictures for you and tell you, listen, I live above the fray and nothing ever bothers me. And I don't get discouraged and I never have a down day and I never shed a tear and I never want to quit and all those things. But I'd be lying to you if I told you that. And I imagine that I'm not the only one. And there are days where I just sit and think to myself, you know what? I'm exhausted. Not physically, but emotionally, spiritually. I'm just spent. And I just tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know that I have anything else to give. And the Lord reminds me of a few verses just about every time. And this verse is one of them. I've shared it with you recently in a message. This truth in Isaiah 40:31, which says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That is an encouragement to me, and here's how. Because it reminds me of this. If I'm weary, that means I'm not waiting on the Lord. Because if I'm waiting on the Lord, He renews my strength. When I'm weary, it's because I'm focused on the world around me. And boy, is it hard not to focus on the world around me in these times. If I'm weary, it's because I'm focusing on people around me. And boy, it's hard not to focus on people around me in these days. But when I'm waiting on the Lord, when my eyes are on Him, when I'm doing similar to what I talked to you about before, and it's one of the verses we'll look up tonight where it says that we should look unto Jesus. When I'm looking unto Him and waiting on the Lord, He renews my strength. And I want to encourage you with just some verses that God has used to encourage me in these last several months. And I'm trusting that He's going to need to encourage me some more in the months that are to follow. But I do know this, God is faithful, and God's Word will be a blessing to me in the future, just like it has in the past. May I remind you of what Jesus said? He said that we are not to think, or I'm not using the right words here, but we're not to be careful about the things of tomorrow, for the morrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God will only give us tomorrow what we can handle tomorrow as we wait upon the Lord. Let's pray, and I'll share with you some other passages of Scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, how I thank You for the fact that You give strength, even as we read in these verses. It is Your nature to give us strength, and it's what You want to do. And Lord, if we are fainting, if we are weary, then that means we're not waiting on You. And Lord, I confess that it is a struggle for me to wait on You. It's so easy for me to, I don't know if it's waiting on myself or just focusing on myself or problems and situations or the waves and the boisterous wind around me. Lord, it's so easy to focus on those things. But Lord, I thank You that You will give strength. You said You would, and we believe Your Word. And I thank You for Your Word. Now, Lord, would You use these verses not only in my life, but in the lives of each and every individual here and those watching via live stream. Let it be a blessing tonight. Holy Spirit of God, use it, I pray, to minister to Your people, to edify Your church as You said You would, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we looked at Isaiah 40, verse 31. Let me show you another passage of Scripture that has been a blessing to me in these times. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse 28. There is a passage of Scripture that God brings to my mind when I am meditating on God's Word, when I'm meditating on Him. And again, if I'm honest with you, sometimes, again, I don't know that you feel this way. Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think I am. And that is, there are times where emotionally I'm numb. You know, where it's like you don't feel anything. And God, in those times, many times I don't even have words to say. Lord, I just don't even know what. How do I express all that I feel. And though I can't put it into words, God seems to, each and every time as I look into His Word, He brings me back to passages of Scripture like Matthew 11 and verse 28. Notice what Jesus said here. He was obviously speaking to the multitudes, and He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Let me share with you what God speaks to me with from that passage of Scripture. Here was Jesus' words, and of course, He's obviously speaking to those who are heavy laden with the burden of trying to earn their way to heaven. And did you know that you cannot earn your way to heaven? No matter how good you are, no matter how much you try to do what you know is right to do, you can never be good enough to go to heaven. Because the Bible says that the standard for going to heaven is perfection in the law. That you have to obey the law from front cover to back cover completely without ever failing, without ever missing a step. And there's none of us that can do that. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So the main and primary focus of this is if you labor and are heavy laden with trying to earn salvation, come unto Me, Jesus says. And if you don't know for sure, if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven, then I would say this to you. First of all, you need to understand that Jesus calls to you and says, if you're burdened with the idea that I have to be good enough to get to heaven, then come unto Him. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. In fact, it's so light that He said, in order to receive salvation, do you know that you have to be converted and become like a little child? Do you know what He means by that? You have to simply stop working and trying to do it all yourself or figure it all out and rest in Him like a little child would rest in their parent. And I cherish the day that somebody spoke to me about those same type of things, and there came a day in my life where I just trusted Jesus. That when He died, He was buried, and He rose again. Do you know that that was enough to pay for all of my sins and yours? And I just gave it all to Jesus and rested in Him. And do you know that it's that simple? Oh, I know there are many who would try to make it difficult. There are many who would try to make you feel like you have to do something. There are many who would try to add to the gospel, but that is not the gospel. It's another gospel. You see, the gospel is simple. Jesus did it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. It's all about Jesus and what He did. And you know that there's a secondary application to Matthew 11, 28, and that's how Jesus encourages me as I read the Word, as I'm discouraged, as I'm downtrodden and feeling weary. He reminds me that if I am laboring and I'm heavy laden, and that means that I'm taking more upon me than I should. And you know that sometimes in this world, I get this burden that seems to want to rest on my shoulders. I don't know if you get the same burden, but there's this burden that seems to tell me that I must do something to straighten out this mess. But can I tell you tonight that it's not your job to do anything to straighten out this mess? You know what you should do? You know what I should do? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from my wicked ways. And leave it to God. And if you're burdened and laden down with the cares of this life, and the cares of all that's going around, I've got to make everything right, and I've got to make people understand, and this has got to go right, and this has got to change, and then you're taking a yoke upon you that Jesus did not expect you to take. Because His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Rest in Him. Now listen, humble yourself. Pray. Let me say that again. Pray. I don't see God's people praying. I see them getting on Facebook. I see them ranting and raving. telling everybody they know about how they think it ought to be. But I don't see a lot of prayer meetings. I don't see a lot of interest in seeking God's face about these things. We ought to pray and we ought to turn from our wicked ways. You know what? God will hear. He's in charge. Matthew 11:28 has been an encouragement to me. Let me share another passage of Scripture, still in Matthew, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse, let's start with verse 28. Matthew 6 and verse 28. I'm sharing with you some verses that God has encouraged me with. Matthew 6 and verse 28. It says there, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know, the Lord has encouraged me with this verse right here because I need to be reminded often what my focus needs to be. And my focus needs to be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is what I am to seek, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if I will do that, God will make sure that all the other things that I need, do I have needs? Yes, I have needs, and so do you. And my family has needs, and so does yours. But if I will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then he'll make sure that all of my needs are cared for. And I want to encourage you with the fact that God is very jealous over his servants, and he cares for them. And so you and I need to stop caring for the things of tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. Let me say that again. Stop caring for the things of tomorrow. God will care for tomorrow. The truth of the matter is, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Nor do I. You know the funny little thing that people say, Brother Hunter, who was pastor up in the Dells, reminded me of this on Sunday night. He said, you know, there's this meme that shows churches on December 31st of 2019 saying, our theme for 2020 is that we're going to have 2020 vision for the things of the Lord, right? 2020 vision is the theme for a lot of churches in 2020. And then the second part of the meme shows in March of 2020, churches saying, well, I didn't see that coming. And isn't that the way we are? We didn't see this coming. Truth of the matter is, we don't know what's coming down the pike. We don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. But God does. God knows. And more than just knows, friends, he cares. If a sparrow can't fall to the ground without him knowing, does he not much more care for you? Are ye not of much more value than many sparrows? He cares for you. And this verse has been an encouragement to me that my focus needs to be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let these things be my focus. Lord, help me with that. I need to keep my focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me share another passage of Scripture that God has encouraged me with in these days. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. It's a little bit of a longer passage of Scripture, but let me share it with you. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And of course, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, isn't it? Wow, what an amazing testimony. But chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Before we move on to verse 2, let me share with you just a little personal note from this morning in my time in devotions with the Lord. I read Matthew 17, and if you know anything about Matthew 17, you know that that's the passage of Scripture where our Lord Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember that Moses and Elias talked with Jesus on the top of that mountain. You remember Peter saying, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make a tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias." But here's what stood out to me. It doesn't say it in Matthew, and I forget which other gospel it says it. But it says that it tells us what they were talking about as Moses and Elias talk with Jesus. And it says this. It says that they were talking about his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And I don't know, this is the thought that came to my mind. Can't tell you that it was this way for sure. But I thought, I wonder if that was any kind of an encouragement to Jesus that he was talking about the decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem with Moses and Elias. I don't know what the words they said. I don't know all that they said. But I wonder if that was any kind of an encouragement for him that there were other people that understood it and that were watching. The reason I say that is then Hebrews 12 came to my mind. What does it say in verse 1? That we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't know all that that means. God shrouds that in a little bit of mystery. But I do know there's a cloud of witnesses that is referred to here that's supposed to motivate me to run my race properly. And so my thinking on that is perhaps Moses, perhaps Elias, perhaps Abraham, perhaps the other people of faith, Sarah being one of them, right? Balak and Deborah and those. Perhaps those that are mentioned here are watching me in 2020 with all the goofiness going around, not just here in the United States, but in Bulgaria, around the world, and they're watching. And that ought to motivate me to, you know, I've got to do this right. I can't quit. I can't just throw in the towel. I've got to keep going. There's a cloud of witnesses watching me. It's almost like there are fans in the stands encouraging us on. I'm assuming that's what God means here when he shares that with us. And that ought to be an encouragement to us. But look at verse 2. Here's where I should really be, not on the fans, but in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How could Jesus go through what he did? How could he take on the cross? How could he endure the shame? Well, he did so because he looked at the joy that was set before him. Is there any joy set before you? Oh, yeah. There is coming a day when we'll all be with the Lord. And you know what? That ought to encourage you to go forward. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay, how did Jesus do it? Well, he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That means you and I ought to look to the same things. All right, is there joy set before us? Yes, let's get our eyes on that. Listen, the day is coming when we're going to look back on 2020 and we're going to say, that was nothing. Look at what we have. We're in heaven. We're enjoying Jesus' kingdom. We're enjoying life with him. We're free of our sinful bodies. There's justice and judgment that is being run in this world, and things are good and things are great, and we're with the Lord Jesus, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we ought to comfort one another with those words even right now, because there is a joy that's set before us. We won't read the rest of the verses of this chapter because we don't have the time this evening, but the next several verses then talk about the fact that we are to remember that God chastises his children. And it's similar to what I mentioned to you on Sunday morning, and that is this: that God begins the judgment that he does. He begins at his house. And you know what God is doing right now? He's putting us through chastisement. Not necessarily because he's angry at us and we've done so much wrong, although we need to examine our lives and there's a good chance that we all need to change some major things. 2 Corinthians 7:14. But you know, God doesn't just chastise because he's got wicked children. He chastises because he loves his children. And he wants them to be exercised by the chastisement. And God's beginning with us. And you and I need to remember that it's okay. God's taking me through some exercises right now. And I hate it. I don't like it. It's not enjoyable. But there's coming a time where I'm going to enjoy the benefits of this exercise, this chastisement that God has given me. We need to be encouraged with that. One more passage of Scripture that I'll share with you that has been an encouragement to me. Hebrews 13, the next chapter. All right, Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Verses that God brings to my mind when I'm discouraged, when I'm feeling weary. Hebrews 13, 5 is the last one I'll share with you, where it says there, let your conversation, and that word conversation means your lifestyle, your manner of living, not just the way you talk, but the way you handle yourself. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That verse encourages me probably more than just about any other verse in the Bible. There's a lot of them that encourage me, but that is one that to me is just golden. That he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I won't tell you which one of my five children, because I do have five, but one of my five children used to have a history of when we would say something, like for instance, let's say, I don't know, again, maybe your kids aren't like my kids, but they would say on a particular day, Dad, can we go to the park? And if I were to say, no, I can't today because I have to do X, this one child would say, aw, you know who you are. And you know, that would bother me. And I would have to talk to that child and say, no, 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 stop, 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 stop. Don't say, aw, because you're blessed. You have everything you need and beyond. You have a wonderful family. You get, and you know, most of the stuff you want. You have siblings to play with. You have a yard to play in, you know, toys to play with. Don't say, aw, because you're blessed. And I would tell that child, be content with such things as ye have. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes when life goes against the way I would like it to, here's Pastor Weiss's reaction in his prayer time to God. Aw. And don't you think that God would say something to me and probably to you, just like I would say to my own child? Be content with such things as ye have. Look at the blessings that you have. Look at all I've given you. But Lord, things aren't going the way I would like them to go. But Mike, I would say, I've said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And shouldn't that be enough? It should be. And I can tell you that when I focus on those things, when God shares those things with me from his word, it is a blessing to me. It encourages my heart, draws me close to the Lord, and helps me to have the strength that I need. Like Isaiah 40, 31 talks about, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How can that happen? Well, when I wait on the Lord. And those are just some verses that are an encouragement to me, and I hope that they are an encouragement to you as well. If you are ever downtrodden and discouraged, and you're feeling hopeless, you're feeling dark, or anything like that, you let me know. Let me know, and I'll pray with you. I'll try to be a blessing to you. I'll encourage you. I won't beat you down. You're not alone. I'll try to lift you up and encourage you, and hopefully take you to some scriptures that will be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the wonderful treasure that your word is. Lord, it's amazing how it ministers, and it's not just a book. because it's different than just reading words on a page. It's real, and your Spirit makes it alive. And I thank you for that. And Lord, in these days, we need to wait on you. Would you help us, dear Lord? You've told us to. You've made it clear in your word that we should. You've made it clear in your word that if we're weary, that we're not waiting on you. So Lord, would you forgive us for looking around at all the things around us? Would you help us to wait on you and to trust you with all these things? Lord, help me. I need to lead in the proper way. And I ask that you would help me, and I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.